Pastor Darren Solano. We greet you here today on this Tuesday. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. This is where we're at here today. We've got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Let me say a happy early Thanksgiving to all of you. I thank you, all of you, for spending 30 minutes of your day here today to join me here in the Word of God. We're going to hear the sermon that I just preached on Sunday here at Island Community Church. It's entitled Sin, the Unwanted House Guest. And well, that's where we're at. We're in Romans chapter 7. We're looking at that sin, just our sin nature, it does not go away. But the Lord says we need to master it. Even the Lord God, all the way back in the first book of the Bible, to Adam's sons, he said, sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it or rule over it. Even the Apostle Paul sums it up with the word therefore. Therefore meaning this is not going away. Therefore, I find then this law. This is the law of the unwelcome house guest. Therefore, I find this law that when I wish to do good, evil is right beside me. That's where we're going here with this sermon. And Paul said, I was fine once until the commandment came. And the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. We're going to look at the problem. Then we're going to look at, I guess by tomorrow's program here, when we wrap this up, we'll look at the solution to the problem. The Holy Spirit will bring us to one of those men and brethren, what shall we do moments. And then he's going to show us how to beat this. How can I beat the tar out of sin in my life? That's this message here today. This will wrap up tomorrow. We have church tomorrow night. We'd love to see you 6 o'clock Wednesday night. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, is heading that up this week. Actually, this month, he is in the book of Jude. It's only one chapter, so we'll be in chapter one this Wednesday at 6. You are invited. I welcome you and encourage you to drop by Island Community Church this week. We would love to see you for either our midweek service or our Sunday service. This Sunday, we will be in Romans chapter 8. And we have Holy Communion as well coming up this Sunday. So, okay, here we go. This is part one of this message now. Sin, our unwelcome house guest. Okay, are we rolling, Danny? Are we rolling? Of course I know we're rolling. Okay, sin, the unwelcome house guest. That's the name of this sermon here today. We're in Romans chapter 7. Let's pray here before we get started, okay? Lord, we praise you in the house here this morning. Thank you for your word. It's comforting to see that even the Apostle Paul could struggle with sin, even as a believer. And that's encouraging to us regular folk, because we struggle too. Reveal to us our spiritual condition this morning. And as we arrive at the position of, like they did in the book of Acts, men and brethren, what shall we do? Show us the way out. Show us the way to walk in victory in our lives. Lead us and guide us in that victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray to. Amen. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 7. We've been following the great Apostle Paul of Tarsus, the great thinker, as I like to call him, the man who wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books. He has a very analytical mind. And lately, we've found ourselves right in the middle of his thoughts and reasonings. This great thinker, he's just laid on us, actually 2 weeks ago, but that's where we're at. The astronomical revelation that a Christian is no longer under the law. That's where we left off here in Romans. Now, perhaps it's a good time to consider the idea, what is law? Or what is the law? We read about it hear about it all the time, even in the New Testament. We've come to receive the idea of the law as the written word of God, as recorded in the Old Testament. Here's a great definition of law from Google's Gemini, which is a fantastic help tool. It's not corrupt yet. And this is what I read from there. In the Bible, the law generally refers to God's commands and instructions for human conduct, encompassing the old Mosaic law, which would be the Ten Commandments, and other regulations given to the Israelites, and also broader principles of righteousness. This term can refer specifically to the first five books of Moses in the Old Testament, or more generally, to the entirety of biblical scripture as God's will revealed through it. The purpose of the law is to reflect God's holy nature, reveal humanity's sin, and to provide a standard for righteous living. So that's what is meant when you read or hear it said, the law. I like the last part of that quote. The law provides a standard for righteous living. That about sums it up pretty well, doesn't it? So the law says, keep all of these righteous standards and live. No problem, right? Just do everything that the Bible says, keep it all, and you'll be fine. But Jesus says, you can't. But I'll take your penalty for you, and I will die in your place in order to reconcile you back to God. That's pretty good news, isn't it? That's why the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, it says the law was. Not the law is, and not the law will be. The law was. The law was our paedagogos, school teacher, schoolmaster, guardian, to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. So keep all these standards and live. Also, the Apostle Paul's been saying that something is not regarded as sin until God declares it to be sin. Now, with that in mind, let's pick it up here in Romans chapter 7, and let's pick it up in verse 7. That's where we're going to start. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 7. If anyone needs a Bible, there are some under the seats in front of you if you need a Bible. I wasn't singling you out, really. If anyone needs a Bible, that's what they're there for. Okay, here we go. Romans 7:7. He says, now follow his analytical mind here, okay? He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Then he says, meganoito. King James says, God forbid. They'd say in Jersey, have you lost your mind? Certainly not. Nevertheless, he says, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law, now let me substitute, and I'm going to today, the law, I'm going to substitute that with God's righteous standard, because that's what the law is. I would not have known what coveting was if God's righteous standard had not said, you shall not covet. Easy enough to understand, right? He says, I would not have known what sin was if it was not for the law, if it was not for God's decree, if it was not for God's standard of righteous living and how to live right. I wouldn't have known it. I would not have known that by me coveting other people's possessions was sin if God's righteous standard had not said, Paul, don't do that. Don't covet someone else's stuff. So naturally, the law is good, right? It's good for me not to covet somebody else's stuff, right? Naturally. And also, don't covet something, be it money, someone else's stuff, someone else's spouse. You see, the law came in alongside, he says, to add the punishment to the crime. Don't do that. Or else. To covet was bad all along. But now when God says, do not covet, now there's a penalty attached to missing the mark. Whereas there wasn't before, but now there is. And missing the standard. Unfortunately, there's a penalty for missing God's standard. Because he's God, he can set the rules. He's God. He reserves the right to do that. Verse 7 again, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Verse 8, and notice how sin is personified as an unwelcome house guest. That's my new name for sin, at least sin in me. An unwelcome house guest. Verse 8, but sin, look at seizing the opportunity. That is, you see, sin pulled a Moses, I like to call it now, right? Like Moses, he said he looked this way and that way, then he crowned that Egyptian, remember? It says sin seeking the opportunity. So sin, my unwelcome house guest, once the command comes out and says don't do that, sin seeking the opportunity. So that's what it does, unfortunately. It looks to the left, it looks to the right. Sin, I'm in verse 8, pulling a Moses, afforded by the commandment. You see, once the commandment comes out and it says, don't do that, then you get this twitch. You know, it's like when God said, look at all these beautiful trees in this garden here. You can eat everything you want. There's a broccoli tree. There's a watermelon tree. There's an eggplant tree. There's a billion trees out here. But there's one tree right over there, and you can't touch that. Out comes the twitch, the shaking, the sweating, the cold sweats. Sin seizing an opportunity by the commandment produced in me. You see, that's my house guest inherited. I have inherited my house guest from Adam. And it's old and it stinks. It's like an old fish. It's just an old fish in your refrigerator. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded to it by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Meaning, I was fine. Here I was, minding my own business, merrily strolling along like the song goes, just like driving, you see. You're more than content at driving 50 miles an hour on I-95. At least you were content. But then all of a sudden, you see, the governor now issues a new commandment and a law and a righteous standard. And that would be speed limit. You see, it's the word limit that irks us again. Here comes the twitch. I was fine until I heard that limit.
Oh, no, I hate that word limit. It's just our nature. You see, someone with the authority over you has issued a command that I must follow or else pay the consequences and pay the fine. Speed limit, 55, or else. See, there's a penalty now for breaking the law. There's a penalty now for breaking the law. God says, remember what he says, the wages of sin is what? Death. So, speed limit 55, once that happens, everyone in the world out here turns into Sammy Hagar out here, if you remember the song. It says, I can't drive 55. But you could have, and you were doing fine before. And the apostles teaching us, once the commandment came, in this case, speed limit 55, once the commandment came, then sin revived. You see, you are a carrier when it comes to sin. Sorry to say. You're a carrier. You carry, you've inherited it from Adam. Once the commandment came, then sin revived. Verse 9, once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, that is, don't do that. Once God says that, the commandment came, don't do that. Sin, I'm in the old NIV, by the way. This is why it might sound different. When the commandment came, sin sprang to life. And I died. It's like sin feeds off the commandment. The commandment ignites the fire. Verse 10, I have found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life, which it would have if I was able to keep it. I was just saying to Pastor Darren this morning, the speed limit at 55 is because the people that came up with that law love me. Right? That's for my good. Speed limit 55, the brain trust that invented that loves me because it's looking out for me and for my welfare so that I don't go off and kill myself. That's why Paul says, I have found that the law is good. God's just looking out for us. That's why he's had to give us rules. Problem is, you can't keep the rules. The good news is, enter Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm in verse 10. He says, I have found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Meaning, again, the intent of the instruction is good. God intends it for your good. I mean, he loves us so much, he sent his son to die on the cross in our place. He's already established how much he loves you. The speed limit sign is out of love. But then he says, but I found it to bring death. Why? Answer, because I can't keep them. I can't keep these laws. I keep falling and failing, failing and falling. Because you and I have a rebellious sin nature inside of us that rebels against all type of authority. Can I get a witness in this church today? Any other rebels out here? Left up to my own devices, I cannot keep rules. And I would have been fine if you had never said to me, don't do that. Verse 11, sin, but sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. You see, sin deceives you. It lies to you. It makes you think everything is okay when it's not okay. And he wrote this. Don't kid yourself. He wrote this as a believer. He's talking about after he was a Christian. He still struggled with this stuff. The word I is like 18 times in this chapter alone. He's writing to you and me as a Christian. And he's telling us that sin is the greatest liar of all. And he said, sin deceived me. I thought I was okay. Sin lied to me. It deceived me. Remember, to think that something, me, is something, all right, while something, me, is something else. Oh, man, I'm in trouble. I've accepted sin in my life. And I've talked myself into it. That it's okay. When it's not okay. That's why people want to change the word of God all the time. Because the righteous standard's up here. I call it devolution. Right? Down and down and down and down in the standard. That's why people shake an angry fist at him. Because the standard's still up here. We just devolved. We're lower than slime down here. I can't keep them. Verse 11 again. Sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, it deceived me. And through the commandment, it killed me. Verse 12, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. So he says this because he's learned these sinful, unattractive qualities in him drove him closer to God because he realized that he couldn't do life on his own. He could not measure up to God's standard for him, and he needed help. Let me ask you, how are you guys doing with that today? He couldn't measure up to God's standards for himself, and he needed help. Can I get another witness in here today? I mean, how are you guys doing life on your own? Now he gives us a glimpse of the struggles he had as a new believer. Again, once you're a Christian and you receive the Holy Spirit, it's at that time that you realize you have a problem, whereas you never realized it before because you didn't care before and you weren't aware of it before because now you had the Holy Spirit and you didn't before. Which takes us to verse 15. He says, now ask yourself if you guys can relate to his struggle. Listen to what he says next. He says, I do not understand what I'm doing. For what I want to do, I don't do. But I do what I hate to do. Man, oh man, can't you just relate to his struggles today? He says, I can't understand it. I set out trying to do good in this upside down, crooked, evil world. And the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. And he says, God help me. If you've ever struggled with addictions and sins in your life, you can feel the man's pain here. And it's important and key to see. He didn't write this as an unbeliever. He wrote this as a Christian. That's why he says, I delight in the law of God. I didn't when I was an unbeliever. He wrote this as a Christian. And if he struggled with it, you and I can struggle with it too. Because there's a way to get through this, we're going to find out. We don't have to live defeated lives. There's a way to get through this. Verse 16. He said, if I do what I do not want to do, then I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. Or we could read that, it is no longer I who do it, but it's my unwelcome house guest who does it. For I know that in me, verse 18, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's my unwelcome house guest that's doing it. Sin dwelling in me. Look. Something's got to change, church. Look, I need to put the hurt on this guy. You guys understand that? I've got an unwelcome house guest. I don't want him there. He won't go away. What am I going to? I got to crown this guy. He's not going away. You're not going to rule my life. That's why the Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This guy's not going to rule my life. How about yours? Like I said earlier, sin's got a mind of its own. Sin leases space in you for free. Sin leases space in you for free. It's a 99-year lease, free of charge. And you are responsible for your unwelcome house guest because you are responsible for your own house, as I'm responsible for mine. You can't pull any Flip Wilson or any of that other nonsense. You are responsible for your own house. And coming up, I'm going to show you here how to beat the tar out of your unwelcome house guest, because you can do that. Now, verse 21. Let me read this from my Bible translation. He says, therefore, the therefore meaning, since this old house guest is not going away, okay, therefore, I find then this law. That would be, let's call this the law of the unwelcome house guest, okay? Therefore, I find this law. It's just like the law of gravity. Or the law of aerodynamics is the law of the unwelcome house guest. Therefore, I find this law. See, you can't see it, but I guarantee it's there and in full force. The following law, that when I wish to do the right thing, that evil is right there with me. That's chapter 7, verse 21. The law of the unwelcome house guest. That when I wish to do the right thing, evil is right there beside me. Let's look at that in action. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. I want to show you what that looks like. Matthew 16, 13.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.